Welcome to Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, June 2nd, 2011. While the Bible is filled with examples of artistic expression, quote, the majority within faith communities simply neglected the arts, having no understanding and receiving no teaching about the place of arts in the life of faith, end quote. That quote comes from a 2004 issue paper on faith in the arts for the Lausanne Committee for World Evangelism called Redeeming the Arts, which today's guest had a hand in developing. As the executive director of Imago, John Franklin has spent decades promoting the place of arts in the life of faith, and he's here today to talk with us about this, an upcoming event which gave a practical demonstration of that intersection. Canadian musician Bruce Cockburn is literally getting a stamp of approval. The National Post recently reported that Canada Post said the music icon would be featured in the Canadian Recording Artist Stamp Series. Other stamps in the third installment of the popular series feature Kate and Anna McGarrigle, Robbie Robertson, and Jeanette Renault. Four Canadian recording artist stamps will be issued on June 30th. Cockburn, born in Ottawa in 1945, has recorded 31 albums, some which have songs reflecting his Christian faith. He's won 13 Juno Awards, and in 1983 he received the Order of Canada. He was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame in 2001 and the Canadian Broadcast Hall of Fame in 2002. Cockburn's stamp features a monochromatic photo of the singer, along with his Order of Canada insignia on a red CD-shaped background, which highlights some of his best-known songs. That was Winnipeg musician Steve Bell with Lord of the Starfields from his Dinner with Bruce CD, a tribute to Bruce Cockburn. Well, in this, the first broadcast of Arts Connection, we want to give you the rationale for a program that connects faith, the arts, and Canadian culture by answering the question, what is art and why is it important to the church and culture? Helping me answer that question is John Franklin, Executive Director of Imago. Now, let's get back. Let's start with you and a little bit of information on yourself and that. When did you first get interested in the role of faith in the arts?
Well, Robert, for a number of years, I taught at what's now Tyndale University College. And while I was there, I would always include an arts component in one of the introductory courses that I taught. And I personally have had a real love for the arts for many, many years. But my more focused involvement in the arts with Imago has been going on for about 12 years.
So how did you first get become aware of Imago?
Well, I knew the founder, Wilbur Sutherland. Imago was founded in 1972, so it's very close to its 40th anniversary, which is extraordinary that an organization advocating for the arts and Christian artists has been around that long. So I'd known about Imago for a very long time, never really thought that I would be involved with it, but the founding director, Wilbur Sutherland, passed away in 1997, and I took on the challenge of being the executive director in 1998.
Now, what's changed in Imago since it started in 1972 to today?
Well, I think there's a lot more focus on the arts than there was, and since I've been involved with Imago, I've tried to give it a higher profile. We've begun to publish a newsletter, which we do quarterly, and we've put on a lot more public events than was done under the time with Wilbur.
Now, some of our listeners might not be aware of what Imago is and what it does. So give us a little bit of information and background about what Imago is, what it does, and how it helps people within the artistic community.
Well, essentially, Imago is a registered charity in Canada, and we have the ability to be able to adopt projects. We don't fund projects, but we adopt projects, and once those projects are adopted under Imago, that project has the benefit of charitable status, so they can go out and raise funds and help to bring their project to reality. We do a mixture of things. We might, for example, help someone develop a CD, or we might help to launch a theater company. Mm-hmm. Many of the projects that have begun under Imago have gone on to get their own charitable status and become independent projects in the arts in Canada. So that's one of the things we do. And then another is that we put on these public events where we celebrate the arts and profile the Christian artists. And we also, from time to time, hold conversations and discussions and perhaps sponsor lectures and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are some of the projects that you've taken on. I think some of our listeners may be familiar with. One was Trevor Dick and Flying Bow Ministries.
That's he's correct. And Trevor's one example that was under Imago for a while and then got their own charitable status.
Mm-hmm. What are some examples of some of the other ministries that you've
There's another, Blue Like Jazz, which was a drama project, and The Prodigal Son with Jason Hildebrand would be another one. Lost and Found Theater in Kitchener-Waterloo came to Imago some years ago, and after being under Imago for about a year or so, they got their own charitable status, so that would be another example. There was a dance theater company out in Calgary that was under Imago for a while and then got its own charitable status. And a group, a kind of a network of Christians in the arts in Vancouver, the Vancouver Arts Network, continues to be a project mm-hmm. under Imago.
And the Word Guild was also a project as well at one point in time.
That's correct. The Word Guild came under Imago and had charitable status for a while until they got their own charitable status.
Now, looking at the whole aspect of the faith in the arts, and I quoted pulled a quote from the Lausanne Redeeming the Arts paper, and it says, the majority within faith communities simply neglected the arts, having no understanding and receiving no teaching about the place of the arts in the life of faith. Has that changed since 2004 when that paper was done?
Well, I don't know that it's changed greatly. I mean, it certainly more and more people are within the faith communities, and I'm speaking now particularly of the evangelical faith communities, are becoming open to the arts and interested in the arts. But I think one of the reasons that it's been neglected historically is that we have had not enough attention to the doctrine of creation. We've been very focused on the doctrine of redemption, which is terribly important, but the doctrine of creation has for us there a cultural mandate for us to be culture makers and to create. And I think that as time goes on, that a younger generation is paying more attention to the doctrine of creation and seeing the value of creativity and imagination in the context of faith.
Now, I think one of the challenges that we've faced, and we were just talking about this before the program, is the whole aspect of getting the arts out there and letting people know what's happening within the artistic community. Is that changing as well? Are you seeing that
it is. I think there are more. I mean, with of course the internet and the web, there's a whole lot more communication that's going on, whether it's Facebook or websites or what have you. So I think that people are more aware of what's happening. But I do find, Robert, from time to time, well, in fact, quite often when I'm speaking with people and I mention things that are happening in the arts, that they're really just not at all aware of what's happening. So I think there's still plenty to be done in terms of communicating what's going on in the arts.
Now, how does Imago fit into that whole process then?
Well, we try to profile some things on our website, but we also try to profile some things in our newsletter as well, and word of mouth. I mean, I meet with people all the time and talk with people and connect them with what's happening. I recently had a conversation with someone, and because of our conversation, there's about 4 events that they're going to go to that they didn't know about. So that's the kind of thing that we try to do to keep people aware.
Now, how is that happening within the church context? I mean, are people starting to recognize what's happening within the arts and arts ministries within churches?
Well, I'm not so sure that that's happening as much. Maybe I need to clarify what you're asking there. Are you talking about what's happening within the churches, or people within the churches knowing what's happening outside of the churches?
I think the both, but we'll start with the first one.
Okay, what's happening within churches? Very often, churches that do arts events do them for their own community. Now, that's not always the case. We were recently at an event in Toronto for Easter, and it was an arts presentation, and it was widely attended by people, I think, well beyond the congregation. But often churches will do things just for their own congregation or their own communities. I think there are signs of change in that as well, that there's an opening up to see that the arts are a wonderful way to bridge our differences and to draw in people who are outside our communities. And so some churches are beginning to do that. But they are often not aware of what's happening in other places, in urban centers, relative to the arts and Christians performing in the arts. There's an iconic location in Toronto called Hughes Room, and they get a wide variety of folks who perform there. And later this week, Steve Bell and Mike Jansen are going to be at Hughes Room. And I mean, it's not a Christian setting. It's not it's not a place that does work for Christian artists. But here's two very prominent Christian artists, Steve Bell and Mike Jansen, who will be performing at Hughes Room this week.
I want to follow up on that and that whole aspect of Christians who are artists getting out and into the community. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with our interview with John Franklin. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Sun's up, looks okay, the world survives into another day. Kind of ecstasy's got a hold on me. I had another dream about lions at the door. They weren't half as frightening as they were before, but I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy's got a hold on me. Walls, windows, trees, ways coming through. You being me and I being you, together in eternity. Some kind of ecstasy's got a hold on me. Up among the firs where it smells so sweet, or down in the valley where the river used to be, I got my mind on eternity. Some kind of ecstasy's got
Welcome back to Arts Connection. That was Steve Bell with his version of Wondering Where the Lions Are, again from My Dinner with Bruce. And we're going to get back to our conversation with John Franklin, Executive Director of Imago. John, just before we went to break, we're talking about things like artists like Steve Bell and Mike Janssen playing in a secular setting. And it seems to me that there are more and more artists moving away from the sort of title of being a Christian artist to being artists who are Christian. What's the difference between those two definitions?
Well, I think really the difference is, and I meet many artists who are not all that happy with being referred to as a Christian artist. An artist who is a Christian is not self-conscious about their being the fact that they're a Christian. They're not sort of always thinking, well, I have to do my art in a Christian sort of way. They do their art with integrity, and their faith shows up. But if you're a Christian artist, often if you think of yourself as a Christian artist, then you're likely to be more driven to be self-conscious about what you're doing and to make sure that it has some kind of reflection of Christianity in it. And that actually, if I may be so bold, could spoil the art in some way.
Mm-hmm. I think Steve Turner...
It makes the art much more, well, even preachy or sometimes even contrived.
Yeah,
Steve, so there's some issues there, I think, Robert, too.
Yeah,
that deserve a lot of conversation, actually.
Right. Well, Steve Turner, in his book Imagine, sort of takes that whole aspect on.
Yes.
Looking at that, especially as you said earlier, that the evangelical community seems to be getting the message that art can be used with integrity within the, a congregational context, in an individual context. Is that a challenge for people in that faith, and that part of faith in particular, to get that difference between being a Christian artist and an artist who is Christian?
Is it a challenge to who, the people in the church?
In the evangelical community.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that there's a drive for us to measure everything, and I referred to this earlier, by the doctrine of redemption, which is, of course, terribly important and central to who we are. But there's also this doctrine of creation, which calls us to engage our creativity as image bearers of God, and to do that as one expression of our faithfulness, not the only one, but certainly one expression of our faithfulness. And arts in the church, there's a certain discomfort with it for some people. One of the reasons for that, I think, is because art tends to be ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
And in our church settings, we often like things to be clear and direct, and art is often unclear and indirect, and so people feel a certain discomfort with it.
Well,
plus, we have, because of our Protestant tradition particularly, been very word-oriented. What I think the church needs to discover is that art is just like another language, and it's a language that many people receive much more readily than they might word.
Well, I think you even look at someone like Mike Janssen right now. His latest CD is a compilation of show tunes.
Yeah.
There's nothing particularly Christian or religious about some of the songs that he's done.
That's true.
But yet he approaches it from his perspective as a Christian who is a musician.
That's right. And when Mike does a concert, and I haven't, of course, been to all of Mike's concerts, but I've been to many of them, he has a signature tune. And it's his own rendition of an old chorus that we used to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this wonderful jazz rendition. I heard him at the Rex, which is a pub in downtown Toronto, and with the Mike Janssen Trio, and his final piece was I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. So it shows up in what he does, but it's not always obvious.
Well, that's been a challenge in the last little while as churches, individual churches and congregations start to recognize the validity of arts within their context, to actually recognize that not every artistic piece has to be an explicit portrayal of faith.
That's right, yes. That's now, very important, Robert, very important.
Now, what is happening within the churches in terms of what they're doing to encourage artists? Is there been a change?
Well, there has been, and I think the change is a positive one, but I don't want to give the impression that all is well. There's a very, very long way to go yet, but many, many churches are openly embracing the arts and recognizing the value of the arts as a means of communication and as a way to connect with our culture. And so I think that there's a lot of changes taking place. But I'm not sure that our understanding of the arts and their place is very clear yet. I think we're enthusiastic about it, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure that we've thought carefully about it, carefully meaning biblically and theologically.
Now, in terms of individual congregations and ones that you know of, what are some of the things that are happening that out there that are positive? What are some churches doing to show the inclusion of the arts within? And when we say the arts, we're talking everything from dance to drama to sculpture to painting to literary arts, the whole gamut.
That's right. I mean, there are a number of expressions of this. There are some that have developed gallery space within their churches and are able to show visual arts. There are others that have a space that they can have a cafe or coffee house, and they do that on perhaps a weekly or biweekly basis and have artists come and perform, read their poetry, play their music, have conversation, and so on. But another place where art is very much showing up these days is in the context of worship. The reading of poetry, the including of the visuals, the doing of drama or dance in worship contexts. Mm-hmm. So there's a variety of ways in which art can be incorporated into the life of the faith community and into our churches.
Well, even we were at Mission Fest recently, they had a couple of visual artists who, during one of their worship times, were actually painting during that particular time and interpreting the song, the music, the whole spirit of what was going on visually as part of the worship.
And that I think is in a recognition that there are many people for whom the visual is as important or more important even than the word. I mean, that's how they come to understand.
Now, you're saying that one of the things that we need to do is really get a good grasp on what the place of the arts and what the arts means biblically in that. Has there been sort of a theology of the arts developed? Because I know in a lot of cases with pastors, if you can show them theologically how something fits in, that will often tweak their understanding and may move them towards a particular, move them in a direction. Has somebody thought about this whole aspect of a theology of the arts?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Now, you asked me a question that I could go on for a very long time about. I've actually taught a number of courses on theology in the arts and hope to do another one this July down at the Toronto School of Theology. There's a huge amount of literature on theology in the arts, and one of the key contributors to this within the evangelical tradition is Jeremy Begbie. Jeremy Begbie is an Anglican evangelical theologian at Cambridge University and also teaching at Duke University in the United States. And he's made a huge contribution to theology in the arts. And I'll mention one other setting, and that's at St. Andrews University in Scotland. They have ITEA, Institute for Theology, Imagination, and the Arts. And there are lots of students going there doing master's degrees and PhDs specifically on arts and theology. So there's lots going on there.
So what needs to be happen? What direction needs to be taken now to make people, individuals, congregations, denominations understand the role of the arts within a faith context?
Well, I think it's going to take time, and we need not to be in a hurry with this, but I think we need to be thoughtful and careful and introduce the arts in ways that are suitable for the various congregations in the context in which we live. Often in non-Western settings, the arts are woven into life in a way that in the West they're not. And so we have some particular problems or issues that we have to face here in the West. We go to concert halls and galleries to see art, whereas having it woven into the life of the faith community might be a little more of a challenge for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we just have to be more intentional, and there's a younger generation that's coming along that will be more intentional in terms of bringing the arts into the conversation and into the life of the faith community, and there are very, very positive signs about that.
Now, and Imago has just spent, along with Image Journal, has spent the last month or so putting on a number of different events called Arts in the City, and you've actually got one, Art in the City, and you've actually got one of these taking place in Kitchener in June. Give us a little bit of background about how that all came about and what this event is.
Yeah, there's a group of foundations who invited people to apply for funding, and called, and it was called Stronger Together 2010. and both Image Journal, based in Seattle, but also with a branch in Canada called ICON, and Imago applied for funding to do these events in various cities in Canada. Together, we're doing 7 events in 7 cities. And one of these that Imago is overseeing will be in Kitchener on June the 15th at the Registry Theatre.
And who's taking part in that?
The people that are going to be involved in that are Heidi Brannan, who is a visual artist from Cambridge, a sculptor. Dale Nickel, who is a local singer-songwriter, and actually some years ago had a project under Imago, a CD. Kevin Ramasar, who is a guitarist and is well known for classical jazz, flamenco guitar. He's just an extraordinary, gifted musician. Mm-hmm. And then Lost and Found Theater, and Kathleen Sheehy is the person I've been in touch with there. And we are bringing in Mike Jansen as well, who is not local. He's from Toronto, but he will be performing also on June the 15th at the Registry Theater.
Now, what was the main purpose between these with these events? What were you trying to do?
Well, in a nutshell, I think what we're trying to do is to be catalytic, not to reinvent what's already going on within the these urban centers, but actually to bring some people together who maybe know about each other but don't often collaborate. So we want to be a catalyst to get things going and to get people into the same room that wouldn't normally be there, and actually promote the artists and maybe be helpful in getting some other things to happen in these communities. That's really the hope. It's not the event itself, but it's a kind of the ripple effect of the event is really what we're after.
Mm-hmm. Well, where can people get more information both about this event and about Imago itself?
Well, you can go to imago-arts.on.ca, and if you check on events there, you'll find out details about the event in Kitchener and other events that we're doing. And you could also go to Image Journal in order to find out what's happening there. The next event actually is in Vancouver on June 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, thank you very much for your time.
A pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of the program, Robert.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, John Franklin. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email Robert at Selaw Ministries, S-E-L-A-W, ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, that's S-E-L-A-W-1-3. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday at 10 p.m.